Welcome to the Kanonenzeitung, the Cannonball Times. First episode in English, episode 12. Für alle, die Englisch nicht so gut sprechen, diese Folge ist in Englisch. In Zukunft wird es wieder auf Deutsch sein. This episode is with Jim Newman, who just visited me around 2 hours ago. Jim talks about the miracle of life and how it is impossible for me to enjoy the miracle of life. Me can never reach enlightenment, but paradise is already this. Something cannot be understood. Some stuff doesn't want to be understood. The me wants to keep fighting. It wants to establish its power. But ultimately, it can only fail. Jim is a non-dualist. He's friends with Tony Parsons. He lived in Vienna now for 17 years. Just recently moved to St. Pölten, as I said, the glorious capital of Lower Austria. Unfortunately, Michael cannot be here today. He has committed himself to the dirty business of 40 hours a week work. But he's the one that introduced me to Jim's message, also to Tony Parsons' message. Please enjoy 1 hour talk on nothing and everything. Looks fine, no?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Now, just check every once in a while.
Yeah. Right.
I'll just turn my phone here to Soylent. So then, are you doing stuff in St. Pölten now?
Yeah, I did. I had a couple of things in St. Pölten, but it hasn't continued, so.
Yeah.
I haven't done really any advertising for this. I have a list of email addresses that I keep writing emails to.
And, you should put me in a list then.
Yeah, okay. That's been about it. I did some videos recently that I have on the internet.
Yeah.
You said you watched them both.
Yeah, one like 6 minutes and one 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And when did you start this, and what is it? I mean, I couldn't participate yet.
When did I start?
Yeah, like
talking.
Yeah,
I guess it was a year or two ago. I don't know exactly.
And here's a question, like from Michael, you know, because Michael can't be here, so I asked him yesterday if he has got any questions.
Yeah,
and he said because you don't charge anything, like there's no admission.
Yeah.
So is that?
Well, there's a donation.
Yeah. But he wanted to know, like, because there's some, you know, there's this pure Advaita, like, fantasy that kind of say that charging for entrance is impossible because it's a contradiction or something.
Mm.
But this is not your motivation here.
Absolutely not. No. No, I think you've got to be practical.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how are you going to survive if this is, if you do this full time?
Yeah.
Like some people, they have to pay the rent.
Sure.
So if you don't ask money, how do you pay the rent?
Yeah.
You know, the apparent story continues. The only real illusion or delusion of the whole thing is the contraction of the I in it that thinks it has meaning and purpose. But the apparent story continues.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, and so if you don't charge any money, how are you going to eat?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is like, maybe you know that from other Buddhist organizations.
If you're living in India, there's a culture surrounding teaching and being a guru. A guru is a Hindu tradition. It's a religious thing. So Advaita doesn't really even accept gurus or understand gurus. There's no guru in Advaita. But if you're in India and you're a guru, the society supports you.
Yeah.
In the West, there's no cultural system to support someone being a teacher or sharing a message.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's this, let's say, for example, in Vipassana, there's this idea that, whatever needs to come comes, you know, in terms of donations, and yeah, that kind of binds you to the technique if you pay in advance or something. But I think that's not really relevant in non-duality, like just...
Well, if you're going to talk... non-duality doesn't have anything to do with charging money or not charging money.
Sure.
Non-duality is a word that just describes a reality that can't be spoken. That's the reason the expression non-duality is a negative and not a positive.
Yeah.
Because you have to say it's not two. You can't say it is one. Because it isn't anything. It is everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a lot of connection to language?
Well, to express it, I think some words are better than others. And there are certain things that it seems to me that when it's been recognized that there's no center, that certain things no longer arise, such as the idea that there's meaning and purpose, the idea that there's an I making decisions of free will and choice, that there's something that was ever born or something that ever dies, or that there's someone that becomes enlightened. Those sort of things just don't seem relevant to me anymore. I can't imagine someone who's recognized that everything is empty would be able to say that everything has purpose, or that anything has purpose, or that there is any good and bad. But as far as you get down, when you get down to fine things about saying whether there's consciousness or not, which is a discussion that people have, they can understand that somebody might say that this is consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem that way to me. Consciousness seems to me to have a subject and object, someone who needs to be conscious of everything for there to be consciousness. This doesn't seem like consciousness. But I can understand that somebody could say that.
Mm-hmm. Because recently, like, I asked in a non-duality meeting, if, like, you know, let's say if there weren't any language, there wouldn't be any sense of separation anyways. But this person then said, no, it has nothing to do with that, in a sense that you could even, let's say, if you grow up in an island alone without language, you could still, like, feel separate, and like this contraction or non-contraction has nothing, like, it's not so much linked to language that it wouldn't arise without it, you know?
Right.
So, like, this is the theory here that, you know, that animals would not be able to feel separate, or, like, there is, like, the beginning
language
of the...
Language is an expression of separation, not a cause of it.
Okay. What do you think about these first words of the Bible? Isn't that at the beginning there was a word?
Yeah.
Is there any response to this? I mean,
I don't know what they mean. You know, it was written in Aramaic,
okay,
translated into ancient Greek. I have no idea what they mean by the word, but the word isn't the separation. Words aren't separation.
Okay.
Words are an expression of separation.
Okay.
But they're not a problem.
All right. Mm-hmm.
The problem is the sense of separation, the feeling of separation, the sense of identity, the sense of contraction, the sense of a center.
Yeah.
That then has to deal with everything that's happening to it.
It's a problem because there's no free will, and so it cannot change anything.
The problem, the center...
Oh, the problem of separation itself.
It makes everything dissatisfying. The thing is that it's unreal, it's an illusion, it's not true. And so this illusion, this unreality, tries to then manage a world as though it were true, as though it were real, this contraction.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got an unreality trying to manage an unreality, it's life.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of I don't know what a good example would be, but it creates a lot of issues to try to create an illusion that's going to solve an illusion. Yeah. And the illusion, the problem with the illusion is that it feels uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It feels dissatisfying. It feels as though there's something wrong. And most of the efforts of the illusion, of the contraction, are to satisfy or to get rid of this feeling that something's wrong. The problem for the seeker is, the problem is the seeker.
Mm-hmm.
So the seeker is really looking for the disillusionment of itself, the loss of itself.
Yeah.
It doesn't know that, though.
Yeah. But it's very, very powerful, no? This illusory entity.
Yes and no. I mean, it's really nothing.
I mean,
in the end, it's really nothing. When the seeker is trapped in seeking, it feels very powerful, but nothing's happening.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually do anything.
Sure, but it offers so many tricks. I mean,
yeah.
Let's say this message of non-duality is basically just everything is one.
Not really. There's no duality.
There's no duality.
Yeah,
it's rather simple, no?
It's very.
And the intellect can easily, like, if it's ready, accept it, no? But it finds
nothing
like,
can accept it.
Okay, but the intellect, the illusory intellect, can take it and transform it into a formula.
People transform it into a formula.
To another concept.
Into a concept. Well, the fact is the me can't do anything else.
Yeah.
It can only believe or not believe.
Yeah.
It can't do anything else. And either believing and not believing has absolutely no effect. The fact is, the last thing I want, or the me wants, is the loss of myself, is to die. That's the last thing I want. And no matter how much I pretend I'm trying to find the end of my problems, which is myself, I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't want to die. I doesn't want to die. But, I mean, it's more than that. I don't want to die because I couldn't even conceive of what it was like. I can't conceive of not being.
Yeah.
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 So even the concept of death has no reality with the reality of death. This is death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I expect that you wouldn't like to talk about like processes, right? Of liberation or something like that. But I still wanted to mention this. It's something that's like in many spiritual practices, which is kind of uprooting, right? So like, let's say in Vipassana, do you know what Vipassana is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then there's this...
I've done it.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
I loved it.
What? Me
I
too,
loved
yeah.
It. Yeah.
I loved it. But I was on a blacklist because of medical issues.
Mm.
And basically... That doesn't only apply to me, but Vipassana says, you know, if you meditate and you get to, let's say, to the point where you kind of, I don't know, like see through or something, then like even stronger issues come up. And then in my case, I said you wouldn't be able to face it. You would like kind of, you know, try to defend it, run away or something, and then maybe jump in front of a train or something. So... The concept here is, in terms of liberation, death of the I or something, even something strong, even that feels even worse than before, comes up, and then yeah, that just goes by. But can you relate to this in terms of what you were talking about?
Well, when the I is threatened, it often reacts to try to save itself. And so sometimes you could say there's a glimpse of reality, a glimpse of what is beyond the I, and the I will then come back and fight even more to survive.
Yeah.
That can happen. And the reason that I would say, and you're right, that there's no process in this, is because that would mean that there was something that could bring it about, or some process that one could implement to arrive at what is. The point is that this is already it.
Yeah.
This is it. Everything that's happening right now is it. Even the feeling that it's not it, even the feeling that there's an I in it,
yeah,
is what is. is unconditional love expressing itself as contraction.
Yeah, that's a knife to logic, no?
I mean, a knife to logic.
you can't continue arguing than that. But I'm like interested in. So I guess you would say like there's no time, no? Because there's no process, there's no time, right? There's no space in a sense.
Well, there's two things. There's the appearance of time and space. We're talking in time and space.
All right.
And there's the reality beyond the appearance. The appearance is nothing appearing as time and space. But the reality is that there's no time and space.
All right, so you can't basically say there's no time.
Of course you can.
You can.
In reality, there's no time. There's an appearance of time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's an apparent time.
Apparent time, yeah.
But basically, okay, the apparent time can be understood by the intellect, but the absence of time cannot be.
Right.
Okay. That's nice. Let's see, I took some notes.
You could say that this is the timeless appearing as time.
Yeah. So this is not about happiness, right?
For me, it's all about happiness.
Yeah.
It's all about finding happiness and avoiding pain. It can't do anything else. It's completely and utterly trapped.
Yeah.
It literally can't do anything else except try to survive and try to know everything and control everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it does.
Yeah.
It's also the expression of unconditional love.
Do you ever offer anything? Like, I mean,
what would the point be? I mean, I understand the question. The me is completely helpless. It can't do anything. It never has done anything.
Yeah.
It has no free will and choice. So it couldn't do anything even if there were a suggestion. And any suggestion would suggest that what is isn't it. And that's not, it is it. This is it.
Yeah.
Even the appearance of me is it. This is what's looked for, exactly as it is. This.
Yeah.
The whole bit, the whole thing, this. It's
beautiful, no?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, here there were some wrong conclusions, I would say, because let's say maybe you know that from people that visit you in your meetings that the mind goes like, okay, there's nothing, like, so the conclusion is nothing matters, right? So I wrecked my mother's car, like I drove it like full speed. Mm-hmm. I should say that for insurance, but anyways, I drove it into the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But like I stepped out of the car and there was this kind of fuck no, like fucking hell, like she told me before, just before I got in the car, but there was no arising of feeling sorry. I couldn't, but it was not, let's say, it was not real in a way that there was this pseudo conclusion that, you know, nothing matters, so whatever, you know.
Mm.
If this car is broken or it's not broken, it doesn't matter. But at this moment, this seems like a fake nihilist conclusion.
Hmm.
Just because these things in a way are all irreal, like not real,
hmm,
doesn't mean like I can just put like a fog of nothing matters on top of everything, right?
Hmm.
So I was like trying to get to the point that there can be offerings, no? There can be, I'm getting kind of lost here, but...
Well, nothing matters.
Nothing matters.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Because nothing's happening.
Nothing's happening.
This isn't going anywhere. This didn't come from anywhere and doesn't go anywhere.
Okay. So, do you see any danger of wrong conclusions to...
Who's going to do it? I understand the idea.
Ma.
That someone could say, oh, right, now non-duality or whatever, this theory, this philosophy says, there's no responsibility, so I can do whatever I want. But okay. Who's going to do it? Who's going to make the choice? Nobody's ever made a choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's no understanding, but it's like perfectly clear, no?
The brain is a system, a mechanism that takes all the information it has to come to the conclusions or to make the decisions or does what it needs to do. So it takes, if there's a problem in front of it, it'll take all the information it has. It doesn't have the ability to remove a bit of information or to add a bit of information. It takes everything it has and makes the decision. The person comes in afterwards and says, that's my decision.
Okay.
So in the appearance of the story, that's all that ever happens. The brain controls the entire story.
The brain controls the entire story?
Yeah.
Okay, but the brain is not the self, right?
No. The story is an appearance. The brain is an appearance out of nothing in the story of what's happening. The contraction, the me, is the only complete illusion. Has no function whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. So when people say, like, if I hear your message, the classic thing, like, then I will just lie on the couch and do nothing.
Mm. Well, the first thing, it's not my message. And second off, trying to do nothing isn't what I'm saying. Trying to do nothing is me trying to do nothing, trying to get somewhere.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is there's nowhere to get.
Yeah.
And me can't get there. Me's always on the road to somewhere.
Yeah.
Me's always looking for the solution to itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's called progress.
That's called progress, yeah.
Yeah, the solution to itself. That's why there needs to be a new iPhone every year.
Yeah.
Because I need to feel better. And if we get far enough, at some point, I'll feel better. That's the idea.
Yeah. Did that ever work for you?
Well, no. Yes and no. It's the same for everybody. You know, you work for something, you want something, you get it, and for a day, a week, a minute, it feels better, and then it doesn't anymore.
Yeah.
And then you need the new thing.
Yeah. So was there ever this kind of thinking here, like that you need to like progress in your job and to, I don't know, prove to your friends that you are?
The person has no possibility other than trying to find what it wants outside of itself.
Yeah.
There's no other hope. That is its hope.
Yeah.
Is to find what it wants outside of itself. Because it, for itself, feels incomplete, unfulfilled.
Yeah. So, what would you say about Vipassana now? Or don't you want to like...
No, it's fine. Vipassana is great. I enjoyed it. Nothing solves the problem of I, of me. That's just like there's no answers to any of the questions of me, such mm-hmm. as why or how. That just doesn't come up. So there's no, Vipassana is not going to help solve the problem of I, but, you know, I enjoyed it.
Would you ever do it again?
Probably not.
Yeah. Would you ever sit down and do 20 minutes?
I do.
You do?
Yeah, sometimes. Not as an exercise if I'm going to sit down and do 20 minutes, but sometimes it's just like that.
Like you would close your eyes and and sit straight?
I don't know about sitting straight, but yeah, sort of meditating, yeah. That can still happen.
Oh, yeah? That's a surprise number for me.
Mm. I'm not looking for anything, though.
Yeah. That's nice. Mm-hmm. So, is there any techniques for the mind that that you could say anything about? Like, you know, there's so much happening. Like, the law of attraction is a classic thing, right? And there's this guy that's called the Iceman. The Iceman, he has like a special breathing technique. Maybe you heard about him, Wim Hof. And he sits like in the Antarctica without the shirt, and he injects himself with viruses.
Oh.
And he just has a slight hiccup. And he says like mind over matter, right? So he offers a great package, so he can learn this and take like an ice bath and kind of develop your mind and make it really sharp and really resistant. Is that kind of a contradiction to not having a free will, or is that?
It's not a contradiction to having free will. It's not going to lead anybody to. There's no process to get what the me wants, to find what is, to find this.
Yeah.
Every effort the me makes denies that what is what's looked for, and confirms the concept of feeling that the person needs to do something to find what it's looking for. The problem for me is that this is what it's looking for. Exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
There's no way outside of what's happening. So there's no way to get to what's happening. Everything that happens is what's happening. The problem for me is it can't recognize it. It's too simple. It's too direct. It's too immediate.
Yeah.
So it's always looking for a solution for itself, and thereby overlooking what it's looking for.
So there's no observer here.
Okay.
I mean, would you like sign that?
Yeah, no, there's nobody in here. There's nobody doing anything.
And there's no polishing the mirror or something?
Polishing the mirror. You mean as an action to polish the mirror?
I mean, there's this metaphor.
There's no mirror to polish.
Yeah. I think that's probably Buddhism.
Yeah.
I'm sure you make a difference between Zen and Zen Buddhism, right?
No. A religion's a religion. A religion is hope.
Yeah.
Hope that... All concepts that I can do something to find what I want are efforts at surviving. Are the efforts for the me to find something that'll make me finally happy and survive.
Yeah. Maybe that's just another concept, but for me it's somehow there's some Zen message here from your side.
Okay.
But maybe help me. Like you said, you were studying some Zen texts someplace, no?
Okay.
Or did you?
I have read Zen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything to say about Zen then?
There's some, original Zen teachers, like in a lot of the original people in religions, that say very much what this message is saying.
Mm-hmm.
It gets, I think I said it in one of my videos, that I'll read something about having to see things as pure, or having to see things as paradise, or not grasping, letting go. The thing is that what is purity. It is pure. What is new. What is paradise. This is truly paradise, yeah. Not in some fantasy way, but in a very, very real way. This is paradise.
Yeah.
And because the me can't see that or hear that, it thinks that it has to do something in order to see or perceive or hear that. So it thinks that I, me, has to become pure. So when you read Zen texts, you hear them saying, you have to see things are pure, you have to become pure to recognize things are pure. It's the only thing me can understand. And that's the problem I find with a lot of religions, is they've been sort of twisted.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is said by the first person who recognizes it, that this is pure, and then a me hears it and says, oh, I have to be pure.
Yeah, because like, if they...
Even me is pure. There's nothing not pure.
Yeah, but the problem is like, with your stuff, we won't be able to make like a imperium of well-being.
No, I can't even make anything out of it. It's not my message.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with this at all. It's everything already.
Yeah, it's ungraspable.
Well, thank God.
Thank God. So this is Lush. Do you...
Lush?
Lush? Is that a real word?
I don't know. Lush? I don't know the word.
Rich? Or like juicy?
Lush. Lush. Yeah, lush.
Lush.
Yeah, lush. Mm-hmm.
Is it? When you talk about paradise here.
Yeah, you could say lush. I wouldn't say lush. That wouldn't be a word for me, lush.
Okay.
It's full.
It's full. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I go with full.
Yeah.
Empty fullness.
Yeah. And what happens then, like, everything is so full and so nice?
No.
Okay.
It's not a state. Okay, you have a question.
Yeah, I want to go to this because it's so mysterious that, like, every fucking day I lie down on my bed and then lights go out and there's some falling into some area. What is this? I mean, yeah, can't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. There's no theories, no?
No, I can't say what's happening there.
Yeah. Do you sleep every night?
Do I sleep? This body sleeps.
Yeah. Like, you sleep a lot?
Not exceptionally, no, I don't think so.
Okay.
It's pretty ordinary. I think one thing that's often misunderstood is how ordinary... The me is extraordinary, is special, is important. And when there's no one left, then it's seen that everything is simply ordinary.
Yeah.
And natural. A lot more ordinary than the me. The me has a story which goes up and down, has lots of really important and unimportant things, lots of positive and negative things.
Yeah.
That's all very important, the story. When there's no me left, there's just what's happening, which is a very even sort of state. It's absolutely not special.
Yeah. So I guess you wouldn't party a lot or something.
I don't see why not. I don't, but why wouldn't someone?
Okay.
There's no rules. Absolutely no rules. There's no... What's recognized is there's no good and bad. There's no right way or wrong way. The me is constantly tortured by its ideas of how it should be in order to get what it thinks it wants. Acceptance, approval, control, knowledge, whatever. And the fact is that when the me falls away, it's recognized that there's nothing that needs to be. No, nothing needs to be done. Nothing needs to happen for what is to be. There's no right way to be or wrong way to be.
Yeah.
It's freedom.
Yeah, that's freedom, huh?
That's freedom, yeah.
Well, how do you like this story? Like, I was born... Okay, but let me finish. And then they gave me a name, and like when I was a kid, I was repeating this name. Like, I was really proud. Like, mm-hmm. My name, my telephone number, my address,
mm-hmm.
and maybe my birth date. And I could say, like, really fast. And at some point, I kind of mixed, or this got mixed with, like who is living here and who is perceiving. And then it got really ample, like, it got... problems and preferences and achievements, and then spiritual path, achievements, and then there came a message of death, and then the dream collapsed. How would you like this story?
I don't know what the question is. How would I like that story?
No, what do you say about this story? Like, this, just the story is to simplify this...
Well, the, what you'd have to do is that when the dream collapses, it's recognized there's no story, and there never was one. Yeah. There never was an I.
Yeah. I see. So the beginning of a dream and the end of a dream is...
What's recognized is there never was a beginning and there never was an end. There's only what is.
Okay, so there's no vision of your own life as an apparent dream in apparent time. Like,
well, I don't have a life. There's no one here.
But
there's only what is.
Would you be able to tell me about your biography?
Yeah, I could. Mm-hmm. There's an apparent story.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not yours.
There's no one who has a story. There's an apparent story, but it's not anybody's. And it doesn't happen chronologically, that from the past to this. It happens from this to the past. So this is the creation of everything. The past and the future come out of this. So if I was to remember a story, that would be this remembering a story. It doesn't confirm the story.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk... So if we talk about meeting on the street, that is a memory of meeting on the street. It doesn't prove we met on the street.
Is that possible to understand?
Yeah, it seems very logical to me.
Okay.
It doesn't seem... It seems like a completely different... The concept seems like logical, like one could understand the concept.
I mean, I understand that there's this meeting on the street, like, where is it? It's only...
It's a thought.
Something called a thought or
it's
memory.
It's a memory, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's its reality.
Okay, I mean, that's rather simple, no?
Yeah, I think so.
And the connection on the line of these things, like you were driving around here in circles... Then I came down to the street, we met, and we came in here. It's just an idea.
It's a memory.
Yeah.
It doesn't prove anything happened.
It doesn't... It exists nowhere.
Yeah, it's a memory. It just is what it is.
Yeah. So are we still in the first moment, basically? Are we still in the Big Bang here?
Well, there's no we, and there's no first moment. There's only what is.
Okay.
If you go to a Big Bang is a story. If you go to a moment, you have a story. If you go to now, you have a story. You have someplace to be. What is, it's so impossible to talk about it. It cannot be described, the reality of what is. It's so singular and so radically simple that it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's just so radically what it is, immediate.
Yeah.
That it just doesn't, there's no time in it for somebody to create a concept about it. Anything can appear within it.
That's super scary, no? For somebody.
Yeah.
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 So do you think insanity arises from this?
No, I think sanity arises from this. I mean, it depends on what we're talking about. If we're talking about in the story,
yeah.
I think the me creates a lot of insanity. I think being me, trying to make my life work in a hopeless situation, is insane.
Can we make some statistics then?
Like... No, I don't think so. But this, I think the recognition of this seems to get rid of a lot of neurotic impulses. Yeah. Hearing this message can have an effect on people, sometimes, not always, of dislodging concepts and ideas, of unraveling the contraction, either completely or partially, in which the person relaxes and the life is then, you know, has less of the contraction in it, which makes it easier.
Yeah.
Mm. It can also have the opposite effect.
Like what?
Well, people are then either afraid or just don't hear anything in it for them, recognize anything in it, and rebel against it. It makes the me contract more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just yesterday I met a friend and she said, because I told her like I was going to do this interview, and she said, yeah, everybody needs something to hold on to. And nothing end, but there's a lot of I think misunderstandings, or it's impossible to understand this, but
it's not really. I mean, the reality of it is beyond understanding.
Yeah.
But the concepts around it are easily understood. It's not hard to understand it. It seems to me I'm a willing misunderstanding of this message often.
Uh-huh.
People would prefer to stay in misunderstanding than confront the reality of what's being said. So people will say that this message is saying there's nothing you can do. And that's not what the message is. The message is there's no you. There's no free will and choice. So it's not a description. I mean, it's not a prescription. It's a description that there is no you. It doesn't say you should or shouldn't anything, because there is no you that could or couldn't anything.
Okay, so the mystery is this, but it's not the message. Mm-hmm. I mean, you say that the concept of the message are understandable.
Yeah. But the concepts aren't the reality.
Yeah.
Understanding the concepts that we're sharing isn't the reality of what's being shared, isn't this.
Yeah.
This is beyond concepts. And it's when I say this, I'm literally talking about what's happening right now.
Yeah.
This. This is exactly what is being looked for.
Yeah.
This is it. Really.
Yeah.
Nothing's hidden. There's nothing hidden.
Yeah. So, I guess I know the answer, but is it also a mystery that there's so much resistance against...
No, not at all. when the I dropped here, when the contraction dropped here, I was surprised. I didn't realize it, but I had fought the entire time against it.
You had fought? Fought, okay.
I, the me, does not want to die, doesn't want to let go.
Yeah.
It really thinks it's doing something. It really thinks it's in control, and it really thinks it has to do it. It really, really does.
Yeah.
And it can't do anything else. It can't think anything else. It can't. So, no, it doesn't surprise me at all that there's resistance. The resistance and the resonance can often be there at the same time. So that somebody can resonate with this, with the message, but the me is still trying to do something about it.
Okay, I'm well, this is just a concept, but I'm referring to why is there so much resistance in society? Or like, why is there not any non-dual newspaper? Why is there only...
This is the absolute worst message that could be told. It takes everything that the me is living for, or thinks it's living for,
mm-hmm.
and turns it on its head. Pulls the rug completely out from underneath it. It's just the worst message. It leaves the me with absolute nothing.
It is, but in another way, it makes there's freedom in it. And
totally.
And fun and everything.
Yeah.
So that's a mystery here. I mean, you turn on this thing here called television, and it's full of, or it's, there's a lot of messages saying like, you gotta do it, man. This is your last chance. You know, in 20 minutes she's gonna marry. You gotta go there, go to the church, like, give your best or something.
Mm. The me can't do anything else.
Yeah.
The me is completely trapped in the concept that it's in charge of its life.
Yeah. Do you want another coffee?
Yes, please.
I'll just press break here for 1 second. Yeah, we're just talking about Nietzsche, right?
Yeah.
And Osho, yeah. Is there anybody that you follow? It's like, let's say.
Well, one part of my story which was really powerful for me was having an awakening by being with a spiritual teacher.
Whoa.
And as part of the awakening, or what was recognized in it, was that there was no connection between anything I'd ever done and the recognition of what is, the reality of what is. But that feeling went away. That awakening left. And this teacher I was with had a teaching, had a way to get there. And although I had seen that there was no way to get there, I'd also not known before, or never recognized before, the reality of everything. So I thought, well, maybe the teaching is something I also don't recognize. Maybe there is a way to get there, and I just don't know it. Uh-huh. So because I had no other choice, I didn't know what else to do. Because after the awakening for me was the recognition of what I'd truly always been looking for. It sounds cliche these days, but it really was exactly what it was for me. And there was nothing I wanted any more than that after it happened. And so because he said, this will get you there, I started to do everything he said. And I did that for 15 years.
Yeah. Mm. Oh.
Consequently, I mean, really intensely. I was really a good disciple, I guess you'd say.
What kind of technique was that?
It was really everything. He just suggested everything. From meditation to dealing with the emotions to...
Nutrition?
Very little nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
But relationships.
Like forgiving your parents or something?
Life. Forgiving your parents probably was in there somewhere.
Forgiving everybody?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, what it was a teaching about how to become enlightened. It's an offer. It's on offer these days. Personal enlightenment. If you do this, you will become enlightened. Which is exactly what I want. Me wants to become enlightened.
Yeah.
Wants to have life and be unaffected by it. Wants to have everything,
mm-hmm.
and be unaffected by everything. So permanent bliss, knowing everything, becoming like God. That's what me wants.
Yes.
Be still and know that I am God.
There's no worse message than this, what Tony Parsons says, like, maybe it won't happen. Maybe it happens. Like, you can't do anything.
Mm.
That's absolutely terrible.
Mm.
For the spiritual seeker, no? It's like...
It's hopeless.
It's hopeless, yeah. You like this mantra of hopeless, meaningless, helpless?
But nothing helps.
Yeah.
So a mantra wouldn't help.
Yeah, okay.
Because nothing can choose this. Nothing has any choice. So there's no way to choose what is. Nothing could make that choice.
And you said earlier it's not a state, right?
It's not a state.
You don't want to, like, achieve a state.
Right.
Would you also talk about separation and non-separation?
Separation and non-separation. Well, separation is...
I don't know who this is. Can I ignore this?
Somebody's come to your door, right?
Let me just check quickly through the window. Okay. Yeah. Is there any culture that you enjoy living in? I don't know, it's like...
Well, you know, there's no one here.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's say, is there any... this is just mind games, but it just comes up, so I just let it go.
Hmm.
Is there any difference among cultures as to being super separate or non-super separate?
Maybe. I don't know. I've never thought of it.
Like, is Indian society less separate than Austrian society?
I don't guess it. It really matters, because even hearing this message, there can be a minimizing of a contraction. But as long as there's one there, the whole story is completely intact. The whole idea that something was born and something's going to die is still there. The whole idea that I'm here and I have a life that's happening to me and I have to take control of it and do something to make it work is still there.
So you're saying there is a real difference. I mean, there is a point where this is just not happening anymore.
That's... Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What's recognized literally is that it never happened.
Yeah.
Nothing ever happens.
But there's a point where, like, there's no flickering coming back, no...
Well, at the same instant that it's recognized that nothing ever happened, it's recognized that it never did happen. So there never was a me. So there's nothing to come back.
Yeah.
There never was me.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Nobody was ever doing anything. Nobody ever did. It was a complete illusion.
Yeah. So is there any Muppets there in coming back and, like, trying to establish again, ever?
That would indicate that it had at some point some reality. It never has had reality. There is no reality to the contraction or to I.
There's no reality.
There never was a me. There's no me.
There's no me.
There's no me.
Is there anybody, any me believing to be there?
I don't know. Is there one there?
There's like...
There's none here.
There's something believing here that some people... Okay, that's a complete story, but... Like, grow old and never lose believing being a me.
Most people never give up believing. It's not a belief. Me isn't a belief. It's really a psychosomatic state, meaning the body has a tension in it. And around that is an idea that sort of collects to it as a point of I, of me. And that construct is me. It's not a belief. Because if it were a belief, you could just stop believing it. It's not a belief.
Yeah, it's not a belief. Let's see if there's anything I really wanted to... I really wanted to bring up. What do you think about this embrace feelings thing?
The me is desperate for a way to find what it's looking for. The me is never satisfied, is never content, always feels that something's wrong. And it always feels like it has the power to do something about it.
So
I embracing my feelings, I loslassen, I doing any of these things, I becoming enlightened are all ideas that I have that seem to be the solution to the problem of myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
there's no solution to me.
There's no solution because there's no problem, no?
Because it's unreal. It's an illusion. An illusion can't dispel an illusion.
I mean, there's no danger, no?
Of what?
There's no danger here.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Sticking your finger in a light socket is dangerous.
Yeah. No, but that's a me dynamics, let's say. You can't do anything in a way because
no you.
Yeah, there's no opportunity, and in a way there's no danger. Let's say you could say to the me saying, "I have to this and that," because the me believes like if I don't do it, then nobody will.
Yeah, it thinks it controls things. It thinks it's done things.
And it's kind of true, like nobody will.
Nobody ever has, though.
No, but nobody does.
Right.
Let's say. Like.
Nobody does anything.
Nobody does this.
Nobody does this, absolutely not, yeah.
But in the sense, like, nobody does this. You want some more water?
Yes, please.
Beautiful. So no goals, huh? Is there any goals? Because let me tell you another story. I've been to Ireland. That's where I finished my studies, I went to Ireland. I got some good jobs at Google and eBay, blah blah blah. Then I inherited some money, and I went somewhere else. And now I came back to Ireland, and people tell me, like, you gotta have goals, otherwise you're fucked. So, do you have any goals?
There's no one here.
Is there any goals? Does nobody have any goals?
Not in that sense of trying to find happiness. Yeah. The goals of me are to try to find a state of happiness. A state of contentment.
Yeah.
And it can't find that.
But that's why me says that, no? Like, you gotta have goals. Because without goals, like, where are you gonna go? There's gonna be despair. That's what me says, like, if I, you gotta, like...
Me will never find what it thinks it's looking for, and it's never outside of what it's really looking for.
Never outside. Yeah.
Never separate from.
It can't look at itself.
Well, the whole story appears within this, what's happening. The whole story is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So the story and the me appear in what's happening. And the me is looking for what's happening. It's looking for what is. So it appears within what is. But it can't find what is.
Yeah.
Because it experiences itself as apart from what is.
So could you also then... Ultimately, it's looking for its own death?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Its biggest fear.
Does it not also have an instinct that that's the place it belongs?
Absolutely not.
No.
No.
It wants to, like, survive forever?
Absolutely.
Okay, but then... How come... Okay, so there's, could you say there's like different forces, like the me force and then like its impossibility, like in reality to survive. So that's why it collapses, like why, let's say for example here, there's a few people that like me just tries everything to survive, but because it's unreal, it just like every other time it dies?
I don't understand what you mean by it does die, and it dies a lot in a lot of people. It happens a lot. If people often listening to this message, the me just falls away. It's so thin. It seems really big. It's like the guy behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz, you know, making everything happen. But in the end, it's just nothing. Less than a little guy behind a curtain in The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
It's so thin. It's so immaterial. It's so unreal that it can just fall away. And it does fall away a lot.
Yeah.
Through hearing this message or for no reason at all.
You think that the me might develop even stronger strategies? Is that a force of evolution? Then it gets it's a new challenge, a non-duality message.
I think the me is getting stronger, actually. If you look at popular culture, if you see famous people, if you see the just sort of this me thing of the frenetic need to survive, to be important, to be famous, I think that's all very much me.
Yeah.
I think the whole culture is sort of reaching a sort of a crescendo. If you think of everything that we have now in the story compared to what we have had, and that I think what's so powerful is it's not working.
Yeah.
Nothing seems to work.
That's a nice double sense. Nothing seems to work quite nicely.
Yeah.
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 So, can you hope for an explosion?
Well, nothing helps.
Yeah.
I mean, the me might, the individual me's might go on becoming more and more contracted, seeking more and more frenetically not after what they're looking for.
Is that the difference between hell and paradise in Catholicism?
Maybe. Maybe. I think, simply being me, not knowing anything else, doesn't have to be that disturbing. The most disturbing thing is after an awakening, when it's recognized what's really happening or what's real, and then not having that or not being that, being a me and recognizing that me isn't it. I think that's probably the worst place to be. Simply being a me, you just sort of are doing what you do, or apparently trying to live your life.
Yeah. So the me with being like while being threatened, that's the worst place.
Exactly. An awakening is extremely threatening to me.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And so like the me, for example, like being like a pop star or something, that's not a real problem then, right?
Or being a hand worker, yeah.
Not a problem.
Not a problem.
But does this guy, let's say here, does he have to be special then, like as a me, kind of special?
The me is always special, but we don't know. There might be no one there.
That's possible. Yeah, sure.
Just doing his work.
Yeah.
There's no reason for there to be. I think there's a lot of people who've recognized this and don't talk about it.
That's amazing, huh?
Yeah.
You want to like walk through the streets and ask everybody? Is there somebody here?
Yeah. I'm sure it happens a lot.
Yeah, sure. No?
Hmm.
It's always this romantic vision of the mountains where these people live in.
Or the teacher thing, that the teacher is going to be special or have special powers or be something like that. It's all an effort to keep the concept or the idea of no me away from me. The me has to make all of that very special to keep it away. So as long as I'm trying to become enlightened, because I never will, I never have to die.
I didn't get that.
The teachings that are offered about personal enlightenment are exactly what me is looking for, because it'll never happen, which means I'm safe trying to become enlightened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, 20 years of transcendental meditation.
Yeah.
For nothing, huh?
Mm.
Is there any difference in females and males perceiving this?
I don't see why there would be.
Or like,
in reality, there's no difference.
Yeah.
What isn't male or female.
Yeah.
Or what is male and female.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything else that you want to ask me?
Well, anything else I want to ask you? No. No, I'm good, but thanks.
So, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the interview.
Maybe we can put your newsletter or something underneath the...
My website.
Underneath the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there anything that people can learn from this?
No.
No?
No. It's all a loss.
It's all a loss.
Hmm. And the funny thing is the me absolutely does not get what loss means. It absolutely believes that loss means gain. It really thinks it's going to get something.
Ah, yeah.
It doesn't get what loss means.
Yeah. What is it then? I go back to the blue circle. It's a nice miracle.
It is a miracle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's an incredible miracle.
I know.
Yeah.
Awe. Just awe.
Yeah.
Mm.
No more words.
Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.